by one famous pop purveyor of Ayurveda. He says very eloquently, very philosophically, do you want to know what to do? Consult your body. If your body gives a good feeling, it's the right thing to do. If your body gives a bad feeling, it's not a good thing to do. Just consult your body. Your body knows what's best in all circumstances. And of course, people buy his books in the millions. Oh, very deep, very lofty, high philosophy. It's very difficult for persons attached to their senses to understand Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we'll take a look at Lord Vrishabhdev's teachings and see how to apply them in our life. The devotional path, the bhakti yoga path, is one of constant reorientation, rejuvenation. Things always get fresher and fresher. So, it's not like, okay, now I know what Krishna consciousness is, all right, don't have to worry about it for the rest of my life. Now, it's like driving a car. You may have gotten your driver's license, but you constantly have to make sure that your driving skills are correct. And of course, while you're driving, you have to constantly make sure you're not going too far this way, that way. Driving requires attentiveness. Have any of you ever tried to drive without paying attention? Anyone here ever fallen asleep at the wheel? No one wants to admit. Yes, our Sankirtan devotees sometimes they have that pastime. I think our Kaila Tirtha remembers he fell asleep at the wheel once in New Zealand and ran off the road and he was not allowed to drive for like years after that. It's a very dangerous thing, inattentiveness while driving. Those of you who tried talking on a mobile while driving, you know, it's convenient, but you know it's dangerous. I know everybody here does that. Or if you're talking to your companions in the car while you're driving. Everyone's done that, right? All the whoo! I remember once. I was being driven to the airport. And there was no one else around. The Indiana was driving. So, I mentioned to the others who were in the car something about devotees going to India. The next minute, the car was like, you know, hey, well, watch out, watch out. So, inattentiveness produces danger. Now, why don't we see our life in that way? Now, what do we think about our life? You take it as it comes, you know. I mean, you know, you try to do the best you can, you know. Right? Isn't that what everybody feels? Right? You take it as it comes, you know. Yeah, what can you do, you know? Life's the way it is. You know? You don't go out of your way to hurt people. Right? At the same time, you got to do what you got to do in order to get over. Everybody can understand it. How many persons are endeavoring? Let me find the correct and most suitable code of instructions for how to live my life. How many of you thought like that before? Have you raised your hand? You never thought before hearing about Krishna consciousness. I must find the proper code of instructions for living my life, driving my way through this world in this material body. None of you ever thought that? So you see, If you didn't think like that, and you are now all hearing about Krishna, you can imagine what is everyone else's condition. So we'll be discussing Lord Vrishabhdev's teachings. First, for those of you who don't know, it's a sad day for us because it's the first disappearance day of my dear godmother, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, who left this world this morning in Mayapur. A devotee's departure is not like a regular departure. It's like the setting of the sun. The sun sets in one place only to rise in another place. Nevertheless, we'll miss his association very much. We'll all have to have our sunset. The amazing thing is that we feel that, I'll go on forever. That is true. As the spirit soul, you'll go on forever, but not the body. If you're intelligent, you'll make plans how to make the best use of this temporary body before the next death comes. Next death is a fact. Now, what are you going to do before the next death comes? Think about that, and then do a time study of your life. Look at your life and see how the illusory energy, Maya, convinces you there's no urgency. I wonder how many of you have the courage to do a time study of your life. See what your goals are. See where your energy is going. See the presumptions, the assumptions. Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of time. Yeah, no need to hurry my Krishna consciousness. You know, it'll come when it comes, you know. Analyze those assumptions. See if you have plans in place for how to make your life successful in such a way that changing bodies and the final change of this body is on his death. Do you have plans in place so that your success in life continues even after the body is changing? Through death to birth again. Most people don't think like this. They say it's negative, it takes all the fun out of life. Real pleasure deals with reality. This is something we have to understand, because so many people today think that the more you can avoid reality, the more pleasure you have. That's why people like drugs. They like clubs. They like all these things so they can stop thinking about themselves. They think that is necessary for pleasure, that you don't deal with what's causing you problems. You just forget about it. Krishna conscious pleasure is based on reality. How even within the material world, you can taste nectar. That is what Krishna says in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You'll taste the amrita, the nectar, even in this present body. So let's see what Lord Vrishabhdev has to say. We can chant the verse. Parabhavasthavara bodha jato. Yavanna jigyasata atma tattvam Yavat priyasthavari dhammano vai
Yavat priyasthavari dhammano vai
Karmatma kam yena sarira bandha
Karmatma kam yena sarira bandha
Parabhavasthavara bhavaja jato Yavanna jigyasata atma tattvam Yavat kriyasthavari dhammano vai
Yavat kriyasthavari dhammano vai
Karmatmakam yena sharira bandha.
Karmatmakam yena sharira bandha.
Parabhavastavara bodha jato.
Parabhavastavara bodha jato.
Yavanna jigyasata atma tattvam.
Yavanna jigyasata atma tattvam.
Yavat kriyastavari dhammanobhai.
Yavat kriyastavari dhammanobhai.
Karmatmakam yena sharira bandha.
Karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. Jigyasate inquires about Atmatattam, the truth of the self. Yavat, as long as Kriya, fruit of activity. Tavat, so long. Idam, this. Mana, mind. Vai, indeed. Karmatmakam, absorbed in material activities. Yena, by which? Sharira bandha, bondage in this material body. Translation. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruit of activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activities, he has to accept the material body. We'll read part of the purport here. Generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery. But this is not a fact. Even though one engages in pious activity and speculation, he's nonetheless defeated. His only aim should be emancipation from the clutches of Maya and all material activities. Speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of material life. One should be inquisitive to understand his spiritual position. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yathai Tamsi Samito Gir Basmasa Kuru Devuna Jnana Agni Sarva Karmani Basmasa Kuru Devuna. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. Unless one understands the self and its activities, one has to be considered in material bondage. All right, let's discuss this. Defeat. Who likes defeat? Is it a very pleasant thing to taste defeat? Just think about the times in your life when you were defeated. It's a very unpleasant feeling. Frustration, sometimes despair. When something was out of your control, you tried your best, but you couldn't fix the situation, you couldn't prevail. Everyone knows what that feels like? Defeat. It's a really deflating feeling. Deflating, you know, like you let all the air out of a balloon or a tire. Defeat. Now, think, how could it be that your whole life is a defeat? That's a very, very distasteful thing. Not only have you experienced some periodic defeats in your life, but your whole lifetime is considered a defeat. How does that happen? That is explained by Lord Rishabhdev here. Parabhavas tavat abhodajato. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated. So then you may say, okay, I'm defeated. So what? When you are defeated in this way, then you are subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. So you actually don't want defeat, because defeat means misery. Most people don't understand what is the real defeat in life. People are very much, most people, especially men, they're caught up in the sports world. So they read in the papers how there's a big championship match. The losing team, they feel defeated. I happen to hear one team has passed into the airport, so these big TV screens as I was walking by. So there's a team that lost the Super Bowl in the USA. And the guys were saying, oh, such a horrible feeling. We have to walk off the field, the losers. No one cared for us. When the guys make about, you know, $20 million a year, you know. You know, but anyway, so attached, you know. We, you know, were just out of the limelight. When the final gun sounded to end the match, you know, all the cameramen, photographers, the reporters surrounded the winning team, and they put a, what do you call it, they cordoned them off, the winning team, on the field, you know, so they could celebrate. And no one cared for us. We just had to walk back to our locker room with our heads down. I'll never forget this painful feeling. It was the worst feeling of my life. They said like that. These are guys, you know, make $20 million for, you know, half a year's work, you know. Grunting and groaning on the football field. So, the worst feeling in life, they said, defeat. And the winning coach was saying, he and his team said, yep, I remember 5 years ago, we lost the championship game. I sat my team down and said, I want you to memorize this feeling of defeat so that it never happens again. So, These are the powerful emotional dynamics. But no one knows what the real defeat is. Whether they won or lost the match, they're all defeated. That is Lord Vishuddhi's vision. Everyone who doesn't utilize properly their human life to understand what are the instructions that accompany your life, they meet defeat, and meeting defeat means suffering because of ignorance. Ignorance brings misery. That's another thing you have to ask yourself. How much are we conditioned by the fallacy that if you don't know, so what? As the popular saying goes, what you don't know can hurt you. No, this is not Krishna's teachings in Bhagavad Gita. This is not what Lord Vrishabhdev is saying. Lord Vrishabhdev is saying, Parabhavasthavadabhodajato yavanagivyasthamatmatattva. Without atmatattva, knowledge of the self, you'll experience misery. What you don't know will make you suffer. But why is it we get the opposite feeling? The carefree feeling. So what if I don't know? I mean, look. The world is here. My body is here. My senses are here. There's money to be made. Money to be spent. Music to be heard. Entertainment to be had. The television is always there. So what if I don't know? How many of you, before coming to Krishna consciousness or hearing from about Krishna consciousness, sat down with your friends and said, "Listen, we really got to get it together. If we don't know the truth of life, we're going to meet defeat and suffering." Any of you do that with your friends? Come on, guys, get together on this. Any of the ladies? Come on, girls, let's figure it out together. Otherwise, we're going to meet defeat and suffer. Now, people don't do this. The material energy keeps them busy in so many false pursuits. Why should you think of these things? Maya says, think about your education, think about your money making, think about your career, think about your family life. Think about your hobbies. But why would you ever think that because you do not understand the basis of life, that your life is defeated? No. Well, this realization is necessary to advance in Krishna consciousness. We have to understand the imperative or the forced necessity. Why is the necessity forced? Because that's the way Krishna has set up this world. It's rigged against you. No one likes to play a game when it's rigged against you. Just like in the Mahabharata, you know, the Pandavas and the Kauravas having the gambling match. And Shakuni made some dice out of some old bones, and in such a way that these dice were improper. They were loaded dice, as we would say today. And so the Pandavas, they were challenged, let's gamble, by the Kauravas. And of course, first Yudhisthira, being Dharmaraj, the king of religion, he said, no, don't gamble. But you see, he's Kshatriya, Vedic warrior. Vedic warriors could, just as they could fight, they could also gamble. First, Yudhisthira refused, but then the other side insisted, come on, you've been challenged. Some kind of wimp or something, you know, rise to a challenge. So, Kshatriya's warriors, they can't tolerate that, so, all right, we'll gamble. So, Shakuni, threw the dice after the first wager. The first wager was like for all the armies. upon those lost. And again, this kind of wager was for all the wealth upon those lost. Oh, the kingdom upon those lost. Finally, they had nothing. And the other side said, got nothing. The Pandavas had even gambled themselves away. But there was one thing left, Draupadi, the most beautiful wife. Come on, come on, bet her. So they did, and they lost her. It was rigged. It was cheating. But no one likes this. Everyone wants a fair game. But material life is not fair. How many of you really think that material life is fair? It's not. But foolishly, we think we are on a level playing field, as they say, where there are fair rules. No. Everything is rigged against you. You are feeling this eternal need to have pleasure, but you're seeking pleasure in the temporary material atmosphere. There is the problem. Paradox. You have this need for pleasure, which will stay with you, body after body, life after life. But you seek that pleasure in the temporary material atmosphere. This is the source of all your problems. If you can get a grip on this paradox, you'll save yourself so much trouble. Now, who here can deny that you have a pleasure-seeking propensity? Anyone here? Got something against pleasure? Everyone, young or old, whatever, male, female, you seek pleasure. But what is the problem? In bhakti, we don't say the problem is that you seek pleasure. We say the problem is you seek pleasure in the wrong place. So Krishna consciousness means simply to change the way you seek pleasure, not to stop you looking for pleasure. I bring this point out because so many of you have this fear. Oh, you get too much into Krishna consciousness, you know, you lose some of the pleasures. I mean, you know, bhakti yoga is good when you're feeling down. Bhakti yoga is good when you've had a bit of a rough time in the world. But if you just get into it too much, you could be losing out on some crucial pleasures. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not a materialist. I mean, it's just that, you know, there are some things in this world which are worthwhile, you know. Taking it in moderation, there's no problem with that. And who decides what taking material pleasure in moderation is? Of course, you yourself decide. That makes it easy, doesn't it? Therefore, you'll always find out everyone has their own version of what moderation is. Like, I only drink on weekends. I only drink in the evenings. Everyone's got their own standard for what is moderation. There's a fear that by seriously taking to Krishna consciousness, I'll miss out on some pleasure. We forget that Krishna is the source of all pleasure. So the more that you connect with Krishna, the more pleasures in your life. But when the eyes are covered by the illusory energy, you don't see this. Therefore, you get this paranoia. Furthermore, there's also pride involved. How many of you would really admit you don't know how to enjoy? How many of you are actually ready to admit that? No, you have this, I got to be happy. I've had some good times in my life. Suppose you gather together your relatives or your material friends and you just say, I want to tell you something. I do not know how to enjoy. People would think you're crazy, right? You could try it. Try it. Gather together your friends or your relatives and say, I just want to say something. I'm a failure at enjoyment. They'll think you're ready for the other crazy house, right? What do you mean? Come on! Don't say like that! You're a good person. You'll have some good times. Come on, come on. We'll take you to the movies this weekend. We'll take you to a club. Come on. We'll introduce you to some, you know, nice guys, nice girls. Come on, you know. Don't be pessimistic. Don't have this defeatist attitude. You just got to be sociable. Get out there. Mix with the people. It'll all come to you. Right? Anyone ever told you that? I remember when I was 14, my father noticed that I wasn't like really socializing a lot. So he began to lecture me. Son, let me tell you, you just can't be a spectator in life. You gotta get into it. he felt he was, you know, really, you know, being sincere and giving me good advice. Well, just be a spectator. Life is not a spectator sport. Get out there. Get into it with your senses. He went further also. He was, you know, he felt obligated, you know, since I was 14, you know, now that you're 14, you know, you should be aware, you know. A lot of things you can do now. Shows a lot of nice girls out there, you know. Get into that now. So I told him, because my mother, she was a strict Christian, so she had trained me well. So my father was saying that, I said, Dad, no, that's sinful. Jesus said that's wrong. He looked at me, son, you've been listening to your mother too much. Something wrong with it. It's just natural. And then, as I've explained before, I'll never forget, after preaching to me like that, you know, just get out there, you know, get into it, you know, don't be shy, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. Then the same conversation he told me, and by the way, if you ever see any boy walking home from school with your sister, you need to let me know. But, hey, Dad, wait a minute now. This doesn't mathematically add up now. If all the young boys are urged to sow wild oats, and all the girls are supposed to be curtailed, I mean, something's got to give somewhere, you know? It does, you know? Then he kind of looked at me and told me, son, you've got to understand, a daughter is a special thing in a father's life. He felt, as a responsible dad, that, you know, he should encourage me. You know, there's pleasure out there, but I didn't see it. At the age of 14, I didn't see it. I didn't see it at all. He saw something I didn't see. But that is the nature of the mind called karmatmaka, as what Rishabhdev says here. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with karmic activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear, and as long as one is absorbed in truth, karmic activity, he has to accept the material body. So think about it. It's not that you get away free by acting karmically. Your mind becomes affected. It's not that, okay, I did a bit of karma today. Well, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, you know, everyone's got to do a bit of karma, you know. It's just the way the world is. No. It is a big deal. Every action has a reaction, as you know. Lord Vrishabhdev says, be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. The reactions will be there. And then there's a subtle effect that your mind becomes more conditioned. Your mind becomes colored by the karmic activity. You can't see straight. The more you engage in karmic activity, the more you become bewildered in your vision. That's why so many people can't understand what to do with their life. They can't see straight. This is the problem with karmic activity. Your vision becomes impaired. If you have an eye problem, you know, you immediately go to an eye doctor. Need glasses, I'm seeing double, can't see far, can't see short. Do something about it. But what about the vision that's impeded by karmic activity? Where do we go to get that vision fixed? How do you know when your vision is affected by karmic activity? What is the test? You see opportunities for material enjoyment. That means you're hallucinating. So take a look at the world. What do you see? Then you'll know whether your mind is karmatmaka, colored by karmic activity. If you look around and see, oh yeah, some possibilities here, some possibilities there. That vision is the result of karmic activity. What does the bhakti yogi see when he or she looks at the world? The bhakti yogi sees opportunities for serving Krishna. That is enlivening to the soul. But when you simply look around and see opportunities for more karma, more sense gratification, then the soul is lost. The soul is asleep. Your mind and body are just hallucinating. These are very practical topics. Defeat, mind colored by karmic activity. We should think about this. Would you like it that someone pronounced your whole life as a defeat? No, you wouldn't like that at all. It's a horrible feeling, defeat. You have the expression to bite the dust. Yes, you have the expression to bite it. Think about it. It's very graphic, to bite the dust. You're knocked on your face. You know, your face is pressed down to the ground, biting the dust. That's a horrible feeling, isn't it? So you all know what that's like. That feeling of defeat. And think about it, when it happened in your life. Some crucial thing in your life, you were defeated. Maybe you were trying for someone. You were trying for a liaison with someone. And then someone else took the person. You were defeated. You don't like it. You're trying for a job and you're defeated. You don't like that. But what about your whole life being labeled as a defeat? What does it feel like when old age spoils all your happiness? Just like I like to mention, a former president of the USA for 8 years. He had the most powerful post. He used to challenge the Soviet Union, call it the evil empire. So now, of course, he's retired. And due to old age, due to the effects of old age, some days he can't even remember that he was the president of the USA. This is material nature. Just think, he had the most powerful post in the world for 8 years. He was reelected, big margins, powerful, you know, challenged the former Soviet Union, the evil empire. Let us send movies from Hollywood, you'll be all right. Now, he can't even remember many days that he was president because of the effects of old age, Alzheimer's disease. This is defeat. How is your life going to be protected from defeat? I would like all of you to think about that. You have to make some plans. Don't just take it casually, oh, another day. Whatever, you know, I mean, you know, you just gotta, like, in your own way, try to be a good person, you know? Yeah. You can practice saying like that, talking in the mirror. When you go home today, I want you to practice in the mirror. You know, you just try to be good in your own way, you know? Yeah. You know, you just try to do the best you can, I mean, you know? Hey, go home and talk in a mirror like that. Yes, everybody's going to try. Come on. Stand in front of the mirror and say like that. Yeah, I'm a good person in my own way. You know, I'm not a saint, but few people are. You know, I think it'll be all right. What do you think, huh? Try doing this mirror talk. It's very interesting. Yeah, you ready to try? Yeah, you ever want to try? And you nod?
Yeah, right, huh?
And you see your reflection nodding. So you know this is ludicrous. But do you understand how all of life can be ludicrous if you live it in this way? So we have to do some deep thinking and some modifications in our life. Inquiry, Brahma Jigyasa, inquiry into the absolute truth, that is the defining activity of the human being. Try to understand who is Krishna, why Krishna appears in this world, what is Krishna's mission. Then your human form of life is successful. At least begin with inquiring whether I'm this body or not. And then progress to inquiring about the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna. That's why it's very wonderful to be in the society of devotees, because devotees are always inquiring about Krishna, asking questions about Krishna, hearing about Krishna. In this way, the devotees defeat time. Without inquiring about Krishna, you become defeated by time. But as soon as you start asking questions about Krishna, witnessing questions and answers about Krishna, then you defeat time. So this is the defining activity in your life. Asking questions about Krishna, Brahma Jigyasa. Don't take it to be a small thing. It's a defining issue in your life. To ask questions about Krishna means that you need persons around you who will talk about Krishna. Now, if you don't have people around you all the time who are going to talk about Krishna, then you can see the defeat manifesting in your life. You just look around. I'm going to talk about with these people. You ever have that feeling? It's really an uncomfortable feeling, isn't it? Wow, how did I get around these people? What do I say? And they sometimes they prod you, talk about material things. Hey, what about this? Did you hear about such and such? Ha, what do you think? And you have to say something. It's a really uncomfortable feeling. So, look around, see who you associate with, and what you can talk about with them. Then you can see whether your life is heading for defeat or not. If you look around, and most of your day is with persons who want to discuss Krishna, your life is successful. Very good. So this is a simple way how to analyze your life and make it a success. Krishna consciousness is not like a dreamy thing, airy-fairy and, a puff of cloud in the sky. Krishna consciousness is very down-to-earth and practical. There are certain things you can do with your life that will make Krishna consciousness very possible, and there are things you can do with your life that will make Krishna consciousness impossible. So you have to tinker with your lifestyle. Now, I wonder how many of you got that kind of courage to tinker with your own lifestyle. But how many of you have kind of imprisoned yourselves in your... in other words, you just said, my life right now is just a certain way, and that's just the way it is. Some of you say like that? Hey, it's just... I mean,
Yeah, I wish I could be Krishna conscious, but you gotta understand, my life's a certain way now. Right? I mean, I do appreciate Krishna, but my life is a certain way now. It just happens to be the way it is, you know? I mean, really, I've got good intentions, but just my life is a certain way now. Right? We say that sometimes? As if, you know, it's, your life is just like, you know, it's like fixed in stone. Nothing can be done about it. Of course you can do something about it. So bhakti yoga means to start tinkering with your lifestyle under guidance. Not whimsically, but under expert guidance. So the first thing you have to think about is how to turn defeat into victory. It's like we were speaking earlier about the departure today of our dear godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj. And he met with complete success. He left this world in Mayapur, surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna. So, that is success. How are we going to arrange our life so that we are successful, not only at the moment of death, but also before? You can be successful right now, even within the present material body, if you learn how to use everything in Krishna's service. The quest to use everything in Krishna's service, that is what, that, those are the dynamics that drive a devotee. It's a whole kind of engine that a devotee has in him. It's hard for those who are absorbed in karmic activity to understand this engine throbbing in a devotee. How to serve Krishna. How to use everything for Krishna. That is the heart of a devotee. And what is the heart of someone caught in karma? How am I going to please my senses? How am I going to get something for me? Both types of persons have something ticking in them. But what's ticking inside is different between a devotee and non-devotee. A devotee is dynamic. A devotee is very switched on. Opportunities to serve Krishna. Where? How? How can I please Krishna's senses? That's a dynamic pursuit. And to be a non-devotee, what do you think? How do I please my senses? I'll even make a trade with you. I'll please your senses if my senses can please. And guess what? We're going to call it love. You see, you've got senses, I've got senses, and we can make a tiny package of this whole arrangement, you know? Throw in a few emotions, throw in a few secretions. Hey, we've got a love affair. Wow! And then you may fear, if I come to Krishna consciousness, I won't be able to do these things anymore. What will happen to me? I'll just be like a wallflower. Where will that dynamics of life be if I really seriously take to Krishna consciousness? What will be throbbing in my heart without passion? There's no more Raja Goon. I'll disappear. People are simply accustomed to passionate affairs grabbing hold of their life. Raja Goon, mode of passion. That's something, you know? I mean, at least you know something's happening in your life when Raja Goon hits you. And, you know? Is your life meaning? Reminds you of an old song in the 50s as a little boy. Old rhythm and blues song. Something's got a hold of me. It must be love. What is this idea? It's out of love. Your people are wanting some experience to take over them. Did you feel that? Must be love. So then your fear is that if you become Krishna conscious, you won't get those dynamics anymore. So Krishna has to convince you that the dynamics of bhakti yoga far surpass any measly rajagun experience. You see, here's another secret of existence. Everyone is looking for absorption. You want to be absorbed in something. You know what it's like when you're absorbed. When you're absorbed in something you like. Like when you have a good feast. You know, you're just focused. Or when you're doing something else you like, whatever, your hobby, or you're talking to your favorite person. Your senses and mind feel absorbed. And then you become peaceful. So everyone is not actually craving matter, gross or subtle, in of itself. You're craving the experience of being absorbed in doing something. Just like male-female affairs. They offer the hope of absorption. You get absorbed in someone. That's what you want to taste. It's not just the thing in of itself. The male form or the female form, the male mind or the female mind. It's just the whole enthralling, absorbing experience. That's what sets your soul afire. As they say. No, it doesn't set your soul afire. It sets your body and mind afire. But so remember, try to understand this. It's not the thing in of itself. The sense object in of itself. It is the whole dynamic of absorption. When you're just, you know, your mind is just totally filled. Your senses feel filled. That's what you hanker for. And Krishna is the most expert at that. In bhakti yoga, devotional service, Krishna offers you the superlative absorption. And those of you who seriously practice Krishna consciousness, you know that. Just like those who do the service of Sankirtan. It's such that opportunity for absorption is so unparalleled, and the sweetness of it. You just can't get it out of your system. There's nothing to compare with absorption in Krishna service. So let's understand what we are pursuing in material life, and look for it in the right place. So please remember, Krishna consciousness is not against pleasure. Krishna consciousness means simply to look for pleasure in the right place. Otherwise, parabhavastavada bodhijato, there's defeat. Misery. When there's misery, that means you're not asking the right questions. And you're not asking the right questions because you're not around the right people. Therefore, misery. It's very simple. Very clear. Karma is not innocent. As soon as you engage in karma, your mind becomes colored by karmic activity. You can't see straight. These are very basic principles which will equip you with the power to do something about your life. And I wish all of you would have that power. It's there, but will you take advantage? You can turn your whole life around based on Lord Vrishabhdev's teachings. You don't have to have this helpless, passive feeling. Yeah, I know, but it's just, my life is just the way it is right now, Yeah, I really wish I could be Krishna conscious, but just things are the way they are, That's all nonsense. Bhakti yoga has its own dynamics, and you can easily become expert at the dynamics of bhakti yoga in the right association. In the right association, you're very inquisitive. Who is Krishna and how can Krishna be served better? Therefore, you feel ever fresh, ever youthful. So much so that even death of the physical body doesn't impede a devotee. It's just like changing places for devotional service. For a devotee, death means I was serving in this place, now I'm serving in another place. Just like some devotees, they're here from New Zealand. So they were serving in New Zealand. Then they got on an airplane and came here. They're serving here. Similarly, death means you're serving in this body, and then you go serve in another body. But the service goes on. That is victory, the perpetuation of your devotional service to Krishna. All right. Any questions? Yes.
Krishna mentions about karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. So, is the mind of such a person who is performing karma yoga also colored with the activity?
Slightly. There's a very subtle difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Karma yoga means you're attached to acting a certain way, but you offer the results to Krishna. It's like Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, whatever austerities you perform, do it for me. That's karma yoga. Full bhakti means you're not attached to the results and you're not attached to what you do for Krishna. Neither. You're not attached to neither. That means what Krishna wants and how Krishna wants it. Actually, full bhakti is a high platform. I always explain, we don't condemn people for following karma yoga. Still, we should understand the subtle difference. As we become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, we want to aspire for the pure devotional platform. Anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanavrata. Rupa Goswami explains that way. All your activities are simply for Krishna's pleasure. That is pure devotional service. Have you ever had the situation in your life where someone wanted the results of what you did and they also wanted you to do it in a certain way?
Yeah.
You ever been in that situation? Yes. That's full bhakti. Not only the results, but how you produce the results. Complete offering. What Krishna wants, how Krishna wants it. Yes?
No, is it really practical for everyone to be in the association of devotees consistently?
Yes. You associate with devotees through sound. That's the main way to associate, through sound vibration. And then as much as possible, you can have the physical association. But if you don't know how to associate through sound, you actually don't know how to associate with devotees, even if you're physically with them. Somebody could be in this room, but just never paying attention. Association is through the ear. That is the main way. Anything else? Oh, yes.
I was wondering, with Krishna consciousness, is there a system whereby you can offer healing for the people? Say in Christianity, you can pray for people and give healings, and other is Reiki and other systems. I was wondering if there's something similar in the Krishna.
You mean if someone is sick?
Yeah, or on whatever level they do.
Well, if my body is sick, I'll be happy to have a good doctor.
that what you mean?
No, I mean on a more you'd say faith healing on an energetic level, working with the body's energy, physical and or emotional level.
That's just another kind of doctor, if someone's expert at that. Whatever. Different kinds of auto mechanics, you know. It's not spiritual though, it's just gross and subtle forms of medical health. It's not spiritual.
Well, I feel, I know you can work on the, you do work on the spiritual level through the body in many ways.
Not possible. By material methods, gross or subtle, to affect the soul. But you can tinker with the mind and the body. To deal with the soul, there has to be soul methods. Often people confuse subtle materialism of psychic things with spiritual. No, there's a big difference. They're powers of the physical body, they're powers of the mind, and then their spiritual power. They're all different. So, I mean, if I was sick and you knew how to cure the body through giving me some pills or doing Reiki or whatever, hey, if it works, it works. I'll be very grateful.
I suppose it's such a lesson if someone's depressed and living, if it hasn't, say, an emotional problem, maybe they have certain instincts that they feel they shouldn't have, and they're trying to repress those or working through them. What is there within the Christian movement that you would use to deal with those feelings, instincts that you feel is hindering or troubling your spiritual development?
Bhakti yoga, chanting Hare Krishna. That is a cure for everything. Having said that, I have to add that not everyone takes the principles of Bhakti Yoga completely. Therefore, sometimes material methods are required because the person is not fully on the spiritual platform. So we're practical about that. If someone has a mental problem and they're not able to chant Hare Krishna with complete attention, they're not going to be able to solve their mental problems just by chanting Hare Krishna because they don't have that strength of practice. So therefore, you get some mental help. But the fact is, if you do fully take to Krishna consciousness properly, all your problems can be solved. At the same time, just like in any hospital, not everyone's going to follow the doctor's instructions completely. So we're practical. All right? But it is possible to solve everything by chanting Hare Krishna. But you have to sincerely chant Hare Krishna. And not everyone is going to chant with that depth of sincerity. So therefore, they have to use various temporal material methods, for better or worse. If you're actually chanting Hare Krishna with attention, you'll never be depressed. But for some reason you're not applying yourself fully in Krishna consciousness, you may be plagued by karmic reactions from your past. And so you have to sort that out, one way or another. Devotees aren't heartless. Ah, just chant Hare Krishna. You know. Oh, still got problems, huh? Well, tough luck. We're not like that, you know. We're compassionate, understanding. We know chanting the Hare Krishna mantra will solve everything, but not everyone has that kind of determination and dedication to chant Hare Krishna that way. So then they have to do some temporary, limited material method of straightening out their mind. And those temporary material methods always have side effects, because everything on the material plane has side effects, karmic reactions. The spiritual platform is pure, no side effects, but anything material always has something that's, you know, a bit awry.
So, you're free to be a healer of the body, a healer of the mind, and healer of the soul. No problem. Okay?
I think what prompted me to ask that question is from experience through certain churches I've been to, and say through Reiki, working out the Holy Spirit obviously, Reiki is a very definite energy.
Definitely, there's a definite energy, yes.
And so that's what I was wondering, because I've not experienced that here. I mean, the chanting, that is.
Because we go above that. The Reiki operates on a subtle material plane. We go above that. Still, I'm telling you, if I'm sick and you can heal me with Reiki, okay, I'll be very thankful to you. All right? Yeah? It's one kind of auto mechanic or another, you know? But we don't mistake it for the spiritual, that's all. And the most important thing is the spiritual. Still, we have these bodies. If you're good at healing bodies, long distance by Reiki, let it be. Fair enough. If you can sit in your house and, you know, heal someone, you know, 100 kilometers away, that's good. I won't criticize, hey, you healed me, you know, but it's not spiritual. I'm not going to do that. You know. But at the same time, you should understand the most significant thing is the spiritual life. That's all.
To kind of counter that, a lot of these energy and work disciplines that I've come across, the whole purpose, and what they talk about is exactly the same as what you're talking about, connecting to Krishna or whatever.
I'm not talking about Krishna or whatever, because when you say whatever, that leaves the door open for anything. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna specifically says, if you want to deal with me, this is the way you do it. So, you can't just say, oh, whatever. You have to do it Krishna's way, if you're interested in Krishna.
Well, let's say, if Krishna is infinite.
Krishna is what?
Infinite.
Yes.
Eternal.
Yes.
And anything that is eternal or infinite is beyond any one definition.
Beyond material definition, but Krishna can define himself. You can't say, no, Krishna, you can't define yourself. You're unlimited, you're infinite. Never, we don't read Bhagavad Gita. Because the unlimited infinite can't speak.
Well, surely you would have many manifestations.
Yes, Krishna has many incarnations. Many expansions. In Bhagavad Gita, though, you have the source of all the incarnations and expansions speaking. What's wrong with that? It's very advantageous. Go to the source. Take your knowledge from there. You've been coming here too long. You're losing your fight. Come on. You're getting purified. You've been coming here too long.
Adha, Krishna, they're all manifestations. They're all different representations of the same goal, the same place.
What is all manifestation? What?
I mean, within Islam, we talk about 100 names of God.
Very nice.
And here, it's Krishna, and it's working through Jesus to touch God.
You've got to find the source of all that. You have to find the most comprehensive spiritual knowledge available to you. According to people's material nature, they're different religious systems. But Krishna is beyond conditioned religious systems. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Rajavidya, Rajagriyam. This is the king of knowledge, the most secret of all secrets. Not simply to understand your spirit soul, but also to understand the activities of the spirit soul in perfection that you won't find anywhere else. That's the most confidential knowledge. Simply to understand your spirit soul, that's just the beginning. but to understand what are the activities of the spirit, soul, and perfection. Oh, that is something. That is the unique thing about Bhagavad Gita. So we invite you to that. Huh? Very good. Questions are very nice. Very gentle and well composed. Too much prasad you've been having here. All right, we'll have some kirtan time.